it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 5 of the Hockey News on the Cue. I'm Will McLaren, he's Jamie Tozer, and right off the bat, in this episode, we're joined by the head coach of the Victoriaville Tig, who are off to a fantastic start in this 2022-2023 regular season. Honorable mention in the CHL Top 10 this week. And also, this guy just got back from the West Coast as one of the assistant coaches for Team Canada at the World Under-17s. Carl Millett. Carl, it's a pleasure to have you on board.
It's a pleasure to be. Thanks.
Now, Carl, I guess first and foremost, this is your second year in a row coaching internationally. You're with Canada Red at last year's event, Canada Black at this year's event. What's it like for you and just the staff in general to be put in that situation where you go from that day-to-day grind with your own guys in Victoriaville to trying to bring this group of kids from three different leagues together or even in beyond three leagues, I should say, with the under 18 league. What's it like to bring these guys together under short notice and try and get some cohesion?
Well, first thing off, it's totally different. And the main thing is was for us is to get to know them as fast as we could. And so we had a lot of Zoom calls before the tournament, obviously. And it's always challenging, you know, with our own teams. We get to know our players. We work with them every day compared to that tournament that was for 2 weeks. So most of it was those meetings were getting to know them, obviously, and try to create a chemistry with them. And I think we did quite good on that part. And it's totally different than, you know, coaching your own team for a year, meaning the structure, the system wise and everything. And we had a plan. Our coaching staff had a plan. Mark O'Leary was our head coach, and he had something simple for us, and we really liked it as assistant coach, and especially the players, because there's so much you can teach. There's so much you can do in only 2 weeks, but you have to keep it simple. And so we were based on, we had standards, we had key points, and we did talk to them, to the players, for the 2 weeks of those standards, obviously.
For you as a coach, is there anything when you go to these events that you bring back and try and put in place and with your own team?
Well, for sure. And I'm a coach that wants to learn every day and wants to get better every day. And to be honest with you guys, I'm a young coach. And it's only my third year as a head coach, but I've been obviously assistant coach 4 years. And every day I learn. And for me, Carl Millett is one of the coaches, and the other coaches have all good ideas, all good systems. And obviously going there, I did learn a lot. I learned from Mark. I did learn from the other teams. To be quite honest with you guys, playing the Swedish team and USA, they're special. There's a lot of system different than back home here in the Cue. And they were just fun to play against. And obviously, I brought a lot of video clips back home. And I won't tell everyone what I did bring, but obviously, there's a lot of things that I learned down there.
Yeah, and that U.S. team, as you mentioned, you know, if you're gonna copy any team, that U.S. one would be as good of a one to start with. The gold medalists, of course, as you're. Out in the left coast, but you know you're back in Victoriaville, back to the grind, and you have been very successful this season. You know, you're only 2 years removed from that President Cup in the bubble back in 2021, but I remember you saying something last year that you knew, you know, it's year zero basically of the retooling in Victoriaville. You knew that it wasn't going to be the most talented team, but it was going to be one of the hardest working teams. And we all have seen the success that you've had so far this year, Carl. Do you think a lot of what you've tried to implement into last year's team that had to fight for every point is really coming to the surface with a greater degree of talent this year?
Well, for sure. And like you just mentioned, we're still a young team, and I'm so proud of my team right now because the way we handle ourselves every day. And, you know, after winning a championship last year, we had a lot of adversity, all the trades, all the injuries to key players. And what I did appreciate last year is we didn't make the playoffs by 1 point, but we had 25 wins. And most of the nights we had 15 rookies in the lineup. And there's one thing that I did appreciate last year is we never quit. And our work ethic was awesome. In the practices, guys wanted to win games and they wanted to prepare themselves to win hockey games. But obviously with 15 rookies, it was quite hard. And my veterans just kept on going. And we brought that culture this year. And I'm lucky right now to be working with most of them for the second year. And from day one of camp, I felt like it was already day 366. They knew me. I knew them. To be quite honest, we haven't changed that much of our system. But we're just on the same page right now. And my veterans are leading the way right now. Everybody's buying it, buying in. We've just been in every game. And we have a good record right now. And even our lost. Sometimes we just need the other team make comebacks on us, beat us in overtime. But I'm so proud of the work ethic right now. Fun group to work with. There's so much we can teach them right now because they have the right habits. And every night, to be honest with you guys, we're getting a hell of a job from our goaltenders. Our goaltenders have been awesome for us. We're lucky to have two really number ones. And right now, they're giving us a chance to win every night.
Well, you mentioned the goaltenders. One person who has a lot of attention on the season, Gabriel Dagg. What have you thought of him so far, the second overall pick in the draft?
He's just an unbelievable kid, to be honest. We all know he's a great goalie. He's not even 16 years old yet, and he's improving every day. Sébastien Charpentier, our goalie coach with us, works with him every day. And what's impressive right now is every day he gets better. And we're lucky enough to have him and drafted him second overall. And, you know, but he's got a really good partner right now in Nathan Darvaux, who was our MVP last year. He's our number one right now. He's 19 years old, 5'8", but he shows up every game. And I haven't seen him have a bad start in 2 years. And he's quiet and honest and unbelievable goalie. So right now, he really does do a good job with Gab. So we have the chance to start Gab when we want to. He's only 15, so we're protecting him a little bit. But he would be ready to go every night. And so the mix is really good. They do both work hard. It's fun for the players in the practice. They never want to get scored. And we're having fun with them. Even me, at the end of the practice, I like challenging my own goalies. And they're pretty hard to score.
Well, hey, 400 points in the queue. I mean, you're as good of a competition as a lot of other guys would offer them up. And a big shout out there to Sébastien Charpentier, who, of course, had a successful Q career back in the 90s with Shawinigan. Good to see him doing great work with you and Invicto. A couple of guys up front that have been turning a lot of heads. They had actually very decent numbers and successful seasons last year, but they really have seemed to brought things up to the next level. And one guy in particular sort of came out of nowhere. And I'm talking about Maxime Pellerin and Tommy Cormier. Cormier, who came in a very unheralded trade. Pellerin is a former first rounder in the queue, but to have that reliability and to see them really come on strong this season, that's got to be something very pleasing for you and your staff to watch behind the bench.
For sure. They're quite a duo. And right now they're playing with Thomas Bellegarde, who's an overage. And my boss went to get Thomas Bellegarde for reasons, and he's showing us why. And he's just a mature player, and he brings his A game every night, which helps our two other players. And Max Pellerin has been our captain for the last almost year. And he's just someone that we drafted in the first round. He's from Victoriaville. He's really good in school. He's good with the people here, the fans. And now he's having a hell of a season. He works hard every day. He does improve himself. He always has the right questions. He challenges coach in a good way. He wants to get better every day. And when we went to get Tommy Cormier last year, well, first practice, first game, I was really surprised. And I was like, wow, what a player do we have right now. And I was lucky enough to have him. Too bad he got injured after Christmas, because our team would have been, I'm sure that we would have finished above what we did finish if we had Tommy Cormier healthy. But those two are doing really good. And I'm lucky to be coaching them, because they're great kids. They want to learn. They've got a really good hockey sense, and they've got a good chemistry together.
You won, I think most people would agree, the most unique President Cup championship in league history. When you look back now, kind of a couple years removed from the protected environment, what's kind of the biggest thing that you're most proud of as a coach?
All the sacrifice we did for that year, winning that cup. We were just all committed. And we did spend 53 days at the hotel together. And raising that cup on day 53, well, it means a lot. It means a lot for the team, means a lot for the city, means a lot for me. I was away from my family, my kids, for 53 days. And obviously, raising the cup in front of them was something special. And sometimes, you know, yes, it was a special year, but you know what? It's probably, it was the year, the most difficult year to win it, and in a certain way. And we were just all together. We were so tight. And I will keep memories for life. Again, the sacrifice were huge. Everybody was in, even some players that I had to scratch were crying when we did raise the cup. So it was something special. And, you know, it was, we didn't play that many games throughout the season, but it was a challenge to build a team with all the trades we did and not playing a lot of games, and we did. And obviously we had a lot of leadership. We had really good junior players, you know, sometimes not the biggest names, not the one who will play in the NHL, but it was an honor for me coaching them.
Well, you've got a President Cup in the rafters in Victoriaville as a coach. You've got one as a player, and you've even got your lucky number 97 up there to boot, Carl. And I'm sure that's only going to be the tip of the iceberg for you as you continue on. So, Carl, we're going to leave it at that for now, but thanks so much for joining us. Good luck the rest of the year.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
And a big thanks once again to Carl Millett for joining us here on the Hockey News on the Cue, brought to you by BetMGM. Great early season in Victoriaville, and as he's proven already, Jamie, more than likely he's going to keep getting those results out of that crew up there.
Yeah, really, really great start for them. And I think most of us are kind of surprised by the start by the Teague. And but like a lot of what he said kind of makes sense. And, you know, I'm surprised by it. I don't know about you, Will, but I'm surprised by it. Just given where they were last season, given that they won the championship the year before, it does seem like they're a little bit ahead of schedule, but it is still early, a little bit anyway. So we'll see if they can continue that.
Yeah, definitely, Jamie. No, I don't think anybody would have predicted this. An improvement for sure. The cards were lined up for that to happen, and Carl's a great coach to make it happen. But this is very surprising and very good to see, Carl, absolutely fully deserving him and his staff for that success so far. Speaking of success, let's talk about a team that we keep joking may never lose again. And every week we say it seems to be less of a joke. That's the Quebec Rampart, who are second in the CHL this week, and once again first in the queue. Points in 15 straight games. Just, Jamie, we could be watching history here.
Yeah, and I guess I was a little bit caught off guard when I started to see the tweets the past couple weeks saying, like, they're on historically good pace. Just because, you know, I think we knew going into the season that they were a good team, but I don't know if many of us would have thought they're one of the greatest constructed junior teams of all time, which is kind of where they're on pace to be. So we'll see how that goes. And I mean, they're just such a deep team. And we've talked about that top line, Rochette, Waugh, Bolduc, quite a few times on the show. But they've got five players with 20 or more points. So they've got depth. Just an excellent team. And not to diminish what they've done already, but I'm really curious to see what they do at Christmas, just because how big will they go at the trade deadline? And the reason why I kind of wonder that is because this is kind of a last dance situation for Patrick Waugh. There's no guarantees that he's coming back. There's a lot of questioning over whether he'll be back behind the bench of the Remparts. And obviously he's been such a fixture there for so long too. So to maybe this will be kind of a big trade deadline for Remparts, for a team that we've seen them kind of go all in the past, but maybe not as big as, what St. John did last year.
Yeah, definitely. The rumors are already swirling, around certain locales of who might be making their way to Quebec come Christmas time. As far as their record goes, you know, you look at a team like Rouyn-Noranda 3 years ago, you know, that team, you know, if you looked at it on paper, there was a lot of stars. Don't get me wrong. You know, Noah Dobbs and Raphael Harvey Pinard and guys like that, Alex Bocage, just to name a few. But, I mean, they didn't stand out in the way other, you know, top-notch Q teams have throughout history. But sometimes just the stars align. People stay healthy. Sometimes it's the division you're in. In the case of Quebec in the East Division, you know, they have maybe a little bit of an easier go. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my point. You're wondering what they're going to do at Christmas, Jamie. I'm wondering what they're going to do this week, because here comes big test number one for Patrick Waugh's Rampart. They are home to the second-place Sherbrooke Phoenix on Wednesday. They go to Rimouski on Friday, and then it's a date in Sherbrooke with those same Phoenix on Sunday. Going to be a very interesting week for that crew.
Yeah, this is going to be an exciting week. First meeting of the year between Quebec and Sherbrooke, and to see them playing twice in the same week, that'll be really exciting. Really curious to see what both teams do. Sherbrooke had a bit of a disappointing result last week. So curious to see how that plays out, and probably going to be a battle between those two at the top of the standings for the next few months. So these head-to-head meetings are going to be crucial going down the stretch.
And speaking of success, well, Jamie, you're a fan of all sports. You know about the Sports Illustrated curse, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we might be the opposite here on the Hockey News on the Queue, because about 2 weeks ago, we were not flattering towards the Cape Breton Eagles. They were 1-8-2 at that point. And ever since then, they have said, shut up, Will. Shut up, Jamie. They've won six in a row at this point. Another three week last week. And they really seem to have found their foothold. And, you know, Jamie, in a way, it just seemed like all it took was to get that one win out of the way, and things started to roll.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a crazy turnaround, really, just to see what one win can do to your season. It just feels like it's completely turned around after that win over the Mooseheads. The interesting thing about the Eagles to me is that we see teams all the time get off to just bad starts for whatever reason. But then we typically see them take off like this after a while, whether they get injuries back, or see it a lot with players at NHL camps. Once they come back, the teams start to take off. But I don't think many of us really thought the Eagles were this caliber of a team. I think a lot of us thought, you know, they're going to pick up some wins eventually, but they're not going to go on a ridiculous pace that we've seen them on. So the big question, same question as we had last week, the week before, is just, what are the Eagles and how good are they? Because I think most of the time when you see a team that's this streaky, they're probably somewhere in the middle. But I still don't know if the Eagles are quite near the upper echelon of a six-game win streak.
No, I do tend to agree with you, Jamie. I mean, and it's not to cast aside anything that they have done, because you know, any 6-game winning streak is very impressive. It came from behind to beat Chicoutimi on Sunday in rather impressive fashion. So, you know, they're a little bit battle-tested. Oliver Chatney's the player of the week, their goaltender recent pickup. So, you know, they have a lot of things going for them. They also have Tomas Lavoie, the number one overall pick in last June's Q draft, coming back from the World Under-17s. But they do lose Ivan, who is reportedly out for about a week or two. And not at a great time, as Ivan was just starting to get rolling in his season. Okay. And the team now makes its way to Quebec for a 3-game road trip. They're in Rimouski on Wednesday, Baie-Comeau Friday, Chicoutimi on Saturday. So, you know, it almost feels like, Jamie, in a way, they've beaten level one here in the game. Now they're going to level two. Let's see how they can react.
Yeah, and, you know, an interesting thing about this road trip is, you know, we all know that no trip to Quebec is ever easy for Maritimes Division teams, especially for the Eagles, where every trip's a long road trip for them. But this is, of a Quebec road trip, this is probably one of the easier road trips you could do, on paper at least. Rimouski, Baie-Comeau, Chicoutimi, those are all winnable games. So curious to see if the Eagles can keep this going, because they have the opportunity to really pick up some more wins.
And as of note as well, Chicoutimi actually gets their head coach back. Yannick Jean was also at West, wasn't coaching with the under-17s, but he was scouting European players for the import draft next summer. So speaking of summer, let's talk about last summer. And let's talk in particular about the last week of June 2022, when Jamie, you and I were enjoying each other's company at TD Station for the Memorial Cup. And we saw four very talented teams in the St. John Sea Dogs, the Hamilton Bulldogs, Shawinigan Cataracts, and the Edmonton Oil Kings. Well, we can't say the same thing about them right now. It's not like it's big headlines that teams regress after a Memorial Cup appearance, but generally all four don't quite regress the way that these four have. It's, we talked about historic things with the Ramparts. This might be history of a different kind with these four franchises.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest downturns, if not the biggest downturn we've seen in history, to see all four teams in the basement the way they are right now. You know, not surprising, but at the same time, you know, it is kind of alarming to see them fall off that much, I guess. I think, you know, typically you'd still have some leftover pieces that would probably be traded away later in the year, but a lot of these teams anyway, seems like they're really stripped down already, even as the season's not even halfway through. But you know, this kind of got me thinking, Will, maybe you disagree, but it seems like we've kind of seen an end to the trend of the super teams. You know, I look back on excuse me, St. John in the 2010s, Halifax the 2010s, Portland, Erie. You know, those teams had good runs for a number of years, and it just feels like we haven't seen that as much over the past 5 years. Maybe that's because of COVID and that the impact of seasons like that, but it seems like we've seen more of the traditional cycle return.
Yeah, and then, you know, another one I'll throw in there too is the London Knights, who were perennial forces to be reckoned with. They got off to a slow start this year as well, which is something that's almost unheard of. And, you know, I think one of the reasons, Jamie, if I was to take a guess at it, you look all around, you look at everything above the junior level, everything's getting younger. The NHL is becoming a younger league. The AHL is becoming a younger league. You know, we do these team profiles for the NHL teams every week, and I look at the AHL rosters, and it actually kind of strikes me odd when I see somebody over the age of, you know, 26, 27 on those rosters. It's a young guys league nowadays, and that's got to have a trickle-down effect here. You look at the quality of 20-year-olds throughout major junior. That's not a knock against the current 20-year-old situation in the CHL, but quite frankly, you don't see the high end, certainly very rarely an NHL drafted 20-year-old come back to junior mm-hmm. for that final season. I think that's part of what we're seeing here. I'd say the one that surprises me the most, though, in a way, though, is the WHL, because they are drafting their kids at mm-hmm. 14 and 15 as opposed yeah. to 15 and 16. There's a little more staying power. Guys are getting into the league a little bit sooner. And as a result, we saw some teams like the Kelowna Rockets back in the 90s, the Kamloops Blazers, able to build those teams up, Portland, as you mentioned, and sustain some success, or have sustained success, I'm trying to say here. There's a few things conspiring, I think, to prevent that from happening. It's great for all the other teams who sure. were not, yeah. you know, the Rockets, the Winterhawks, the Sea Dogs, the what have you. But I just think the overall landscape of the game is changing to the point that that becomes a very difficult thing to do and maintain that success year over year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, another thing I'll add to that is all those teams I listed, and you added London. Those are teams that typically get a lot of the guys who have U.S. college intentions. And right. we're starting to see a lot of those guys actually continue on and go to those U.S. colleges. So maybe we're just seeing less higher-end talent to the more higher-end teams, and that's impacting their cycles.
Definitely, definitely. And that one, too, just as a quick ending to that, that is also helping three other factors, really. And one's the USHL, of course, mm-hmm. the U.S. national team. We just saw what they're capable of doing at the under-17s last weekend. They absolutely pasted Team Canada red. And we're also seeing the Canadian Junior A ranks succeed as a result, as well the BCHL and the AJ. Places like that are able to retain their top talent as well, that don't want to go to the major junior ranks. Yeah. So, you know, we talked about the West Coast with the U17s. Let's stay on the West Coast and talk about the NHL. It's our NHL team profile of the week. This week, we're talking about the Los Angeles Kings. Now, Jamie, this is a franchise that historically doesn't really shop QMJHL a whole lot, but when they do, they tend to hit it pretty well.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a huge shock to any of us. I think probably geographically the furthest away, so I guess it kind of makes sense. But yeah, no, there are some really notable names within the Kings organization. I think, obviously, Philip Deneau is probably the most prominent. And then Jordan Spence, who we all know very well. But Angus Booth, I believe, is the only Q player drafted right now. So, yeah, not a lot, but I guess it kind of makes sense when you think about it from geographic reasons anyway.
Yeah, for sure, Jamie. There's, you know, every team sort of also has their own mentality. Sometimes teams will, and scouting staffs will tend to favor certain leagues more than others. It's mm-hmm. just one of those things. But, you know, talking about how they don't draft out of the queue a lot, well, Booth and Spence are two of only three guys that have been drafted out of the queue by the Kings in the past 10 years.
That's wild.
That's almost impossible to think. And, you know, talk about Angus Booth. I was talking to the Brain Trust of the Schwinnigan Cataracts last year during the President Cup final. And one of the things that Stéphane Mondeau, their general manager, brought up was Angus Booth, who was hurt for the first half of last mm-hmm. year. He mentioned, you know, you watch this kid, although he's not, you know, getting the same attention as certain other guys in the league, this kid's going to get drafted and somebody's going to be very lucky to get him. Sure enough, LA picked him up in round four back in the summer. So, and a reliable member of that President Cup winning team for sure. You mentioned Jordan Spence. First time I ever heard of that kid, he was a 16-year-old playing for the Summerside Western Capitals in the Maritime Junior Hockey League, playing Junior A. And the first time I ever saw him in Junior A, I said that kid should be a major junior right now. The Summerside Western Capitals are very lucky. Within a year, he was a top rookie in the queue, and he was a top defenseman 2 years running in the queue as well, and has already had some success at the NHL level. And Philip Deneau, of course, we all know, one of the better two-way centers come through the league in the past 10, 15 years, I would say.
For sure.
We'll mention one other player, only because I got to get this team name in here, Jamie. He's the only guy on their ECHL roster. That's Anthony Beauchamp, who played for Baie-Comeau, Cape Breton, and Gatineau in the mid-teens from 2014 to 2018. He is a proud member of the Greenville, South Carolina Swamp Rabbits. Name me a better name for a team. I'll wait.
No, can't be done. I'll be here all day waiting. No, excellent team name. Good logo too.
Very good. Yeah, the whole stick carrot thing. You know, chef's kiss.
The ECHL is some good teams, like the Savannah Ghost Pirates expansion team just started too. That's a good one.
Yeah, they've always had those trendier sort of names. It definitely makes them stand out for sure. And also every year becoming more and more of a successful conduit to the NHL. So
yeah, especially with goaltending.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the future coming up from the Q, our 2023 draft prospect of the week. Plays defense for the Moncton Wildcats. He's a B-rated prospect for the 2023 NHL draft, and his name is Etienne Morin. Jamie, when you're not traveling the continent, by the way, Jamie's in Portland, Oregon right now.
Portland, Oregon. Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. Following the Calgary Hitmen by coincidence on a road trip. I'm about to watch the Winter Hawks play. But when you're home in St. John, you're an hour and a half down the road from this guy. What have you seen from Etienne Morin over the past year and a bit?
Well, the thing that I've always liked about him is that he likes to shoot. He likes to get the puck on net. But he seems like he's really good at his shot selection. It seems like I've noticed, especially the most recent game I watched him play against St. John, I noticed that he was really picking his shots well, wasn't really, you know, shooting it into lags and things like that. So just seems to be like a smart offensive player, averaging over a point per game as a 17-year-old. I mean, that's pretty excellent. I think he's kind of projected to be in that third, fourth round in the NHL draft heading into this year. I feel like there's just not a ton of buzz around him, which is a little surprising for a defenseman that's averaging over a point per game. But I'm curious to see how he progresses over the next few months into his draft. I do know from talking to a few people, I think his skating is one of the areas of improvement that he needs to focus on. So be interested to see how he can kind of keep pace against older guys in the league.
Yeah, and you know, he is one of those type of guys who he compensates by being just so strong on the puck, making the smart right play, you know, taking the extra look, things like that. So, you know, legs, you're right, probably do have to catch up to him a little bit. But at the same time, as you said, Jamie, you know, you're a point of game defenseman in Major Junior at 17. There's a lot more positives than negatives there, and it'll be interesting to see how he rounds into shape with an up-and-coming Wildcat team that's still in second place in the Maritime Division. And keeping the focus on the Maritimes, you know, we talked about Cape Breton Eagles already. Let's give them a little more love. Their player, the player of the week in the queue is Oliver Shatney, goaltender. And Jamie, you know, he went 2-0 in the week. Another shutout, this time against Charlottetown Islanders. I can honestly say, and all the time I've watched this league, I don't think I've ever seen a circumstance quite like this, where a goaltender who, let's be honest, it's not like Oliver Shatney was heralded. He's good, but it wasn't wasn't supposed to be the superstar pickup, coming to what was the worst team in the league at that point and just absolutely finding new life basically with this team and helping bring that team from 1-8-2 to almost 500. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I think when that trade happened, I don't even think we mentioned it on this show because it was so, down the news cycle. This didn't seem like a huge trade to even really bring up, but this is a crazy turnaround. I guess, you know, when you look at his numbers, not really surprising that the Eagles are having this kind of run when they've got a goaltender putting up those kinds of numbers. And this is great news for the Eagles because I think when you look at a team like Cape Breton, who's young, is going to make mistakes on the back end. I think you want to have a good goaltender and a goaltender that can face a lot of shots. So obviously a great pickup for Cape Breton. And this might be the trade that really turned their season around.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, also somebody who can spell the guy who was the incumbent number one, Nicholas Ruccia, from time to time. He's done everything that the Eagles could have possibly asked of him. And of course, he is the goaltender on the Q's Team of the Week. There's quite a few Cape Breton connections, actually, on the Team of the Week. Jamie, Zachary Gravel, former Eagle, got traded about 2 weeks ago to Chicoutimi. He's a forward on the team this week, I should say, as is William Viette of Schwenningen. Josh Lawrence, who was briefly an Eagle and for a long time a Sea Dog.
I was hoping you would mention that. That's a deep cut.
That is. Thank you. Yes. 101 points with the Sea Dogs last year. He got flipped to the Eagles and then subsequently to Blainville, where he is. Where he had a very strong week last week. On the back end, another Eagle, Xavier Daigh, and Vincent Maisonneuve of Gatineau rounding out that team. So this week, you know, we already mentioned it, Jamie, big pair of tilts between Sherbrooke and Quebec, probably going to be certainly the biggest measuring stick we've seen for both of those teams so far this week. Certainly something that I can't wait to see pan out. What are you looking forward to this week?
Yeah, those Quebec Sherbrooke games are going to be fun. I'm a little disappointed that one's on a Wednesday night and the other's on a Sunday afternoon, I think. So I'm hoping the players get amped up for that, even though it's not, you know, the ideal time to play a huge game. But hopefully those are going to be good games. I know I'm going to hopefully try and check out those games if the time zone is kind to me. And then the other games, just bringing it all the way back to our favorite team, the Eagles. I'm really interested about this road trip because this is three winnable games, like I mentioned earlier, Rimouski Bay, Kamosh, Chicoutimi. They have the chance to keep this rolling, so I'll be curious to see if they can do that.
Yeah, we're all sort of waiting to see how that goes, both with Cape Breton and all the teams in the league as you know, we quickly approach trade period and the holidays, and as the news unfolds, you're going to want to keep up with it here on the Hockey News on the Q, brought to you by BetMGM. Big thanks to Carl Millett for joining us on this episode, as well as our producer behind the scenes, Connor Somerville, for his continued great work. For Jamie Tozer, I'm Will McLaren. We'll see you next week.